Hello and welcome to another episode of the new and improved RevVR podcast brought to you by Carl's Jr. My name is Reverend Kyle and I'm your host. I'm just kidding, kids. It's not actually brought to you by Carl's Jr. I just always wanted to say that. So how's everybody doing, huh? Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been over 30 days since my last podcast. I'm very sorry. But why is the podcast new and improved? Because I am now recording from my humble cabin up in the mountains in the woods of Seattle, Washington. Yes, that's right, folks. The transition is complete. And I am now officially a Seattlean, Seattleite, Seattle-y, I don't know. I live in Seattle now, folks. So, and let me tell you, what a journey it has been. I can't even begin to describe to you the trials and tribulations of picking up the entire tribe and moving them cross country. Well, maybe I will just give you a little bit of a backstory here. So, as some of you know, I was unfortunately reduced in size, reduced in force from my previous place of employment, being outsourced to the Philippines. Unfortunately, left me without a job. And so, just to quickly bring you up to speed, I was scooped up by another company, a company that was in Seattle, Washington, which is approximately 2,400 miles away from where I was living in Cincinnati, Ohio. And so those of you who listened to my last podcast kind of heard my spiel about businesses being a little narrow-minded and some being very open-minded. And obviously the West Coast was calling my name, and on my way out the door I went. So I loaded up the kids into the family truckster, and we headed across country, National Lampoon style, to drive out to Seattle, Washington. Now, a couple things. For those of you who have never done it before, I highly encourage you to get in your car and drive around and see as much of the United States as you possibly can. Unless, of course, you're living in some other country, then that might be a little difficult. But it is a very interesting drive. You get to see a lot more of the country than you thought you'd ever see. It's interesting though, because everything kind of looked like Ohio until we crossed into the mountains of, the Rocky Mountains. Everything kind of seemed the same. A lot of fields, a lot of farms, a lot of empty open road. And when you have a wife and four children packed into the family truckster, and you take several days to go across the country, it leaves you with a lot of time to think. And so I found myself, my mind wandering and wondering at the same time if there was any level of inspiration. And I'll tell you what, this is a beautiful country and there is a lot of inspiration out there. And even if it's just for non-VR related stuff, go out and write the great American novel or whatever. But there's a lot to be said for the wonders of this country and the countryside and the people. And, oh, man, the amazing people that we met at each stop. And then, of course, the tourist traps. I mean, the sights to see. We went ahead and stopped our first stop was to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the Mall of America captured my children's attention for at least a good hour and a half before they were ready to leave. A huge mall, a fantastically huge mall. We really had a lot of fun there. They, of course, drug me into the American Girl store. I drug them into the Lego store. And then we wandered and, checked out a couple of the things. They have a Nickelodeon theme park, so there are roller coasters inside the mall, and we took advantage of that because, well, who doesn't want to say, hey, I rode a roller coaster inside a mall? And that was really cool. What else did we see there? I found it very, very funny and interesting to see a Microsoft store, a huge Microsoft store, directly across from a giant Apple store, and to watch people walk down the center and which way are they going to turn? Which way are they going to turn? Which way are they going to turn? Oh, they turn left. Oh, they turn right. So it was kind of fun. That was our first stop. And then we made our way over to Walnut Grove, Walnut Grove is in also in Minnesota, and it is the place where Little House on the Prairie originated or was conceived or written. I don't know, whatever. But that's something that my wife and children are very into. They like to read about history, and I'm either proud or embarrassed to say that I have seen every episode of Little House on the Prairie. Charles Ingalls is my hero. So, yeah, we spent some time there, looked at some history and, you know, got the feel, the vibe of the, you know, the 1880s, 1870s, I guess. And, we had a good time there. And then we, continued to cruise, and then we hit, Mount Rushmore. And, Mount Rushmore is a very interesting place. If you've never been, again, I highly encourage you to go and see all these sites, you know, the things that you see in the history books, pictures don't do it justice, despite the fact that there was about 60 million selfies being taken at the time while we were standing there. We took our own, and it was good. It was good. But you can really get up close to it and see it. And it's actually it kind of reminds you that the human race is capable of amazing things. It really is. It just reminds you that there is hope for humanity to do wonderful things and to leave a good positive mark on this country. Even if it's not in just VR, but you know, just use your hands, build something, kids. So then we went, continued on. And this is where the tourist traps kind of started to occur. 1880 town was the next in line. I think that was in South Dakota. Yeah, I believe it was in South Dakota. We stopped at 1880 Town, had a really good time there. The curator, the guy who took our money, said that, hey, you know, there's a place over in the back of the lot where they have all these buildings that they brought from different parts of South Dakota that were from that era. And he said, you can go and get dressed up and dress up in time, specific clothing, you know, 1800s type clothing. And he looked at me for a moment, sized me up, and he said, oh, and we're looking for a guy who's willing to dress up as a showgirl. And then of course, he looked at me and I realized he's saying that because of my hair. What an ass. But I laughed and I joked with him and I said, yeah, you can call me Caitlin. And we all had a good chuckle. So just for some of you who might not know this, I made the challenge that I would not cut my hair until the Oculus Rift CV1 is in my hands and capable of being put onto my skull. And as a result of that, my hair has grown, as hair will do. And it has almost gotten to the point where I can pull it back into a ponytail. Now, that is something that I have not been able to say in 20 years, I would say. Just like most other people who grew up in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, I was a guy with some long hair. But, you know, as you do, you know, outgrow, you know, childish things and you cut your hair. So this is the longest my hair has been in about 20 years. And needless to say, I'm both aggravated at it and at the same time kind of liking this challenge. It's challenging me to do something that I haven't done in a long time. And it poses its interesting struggles. For example, having this amount of hair, putting on an HMD back and forth all day can be a problem. You end up with some really crazy hat head. And plus, it's just when it gets hot, you really, really regret that you have it. But I'm standing by my word. And Oculus, I will not cut my hair. Not that you really care. But I am not cutting my hair until a CV1 is put on my skull. So some of you may have just heard my phone beep there. That was letting me know that another person liked my LinkedIn update. So if you're not already friends with me on LinkedIn, you can go find me. I have come to the conclusion after being here in Seattle for about a week that I guess it's time to start updating things. So I had to update Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and several other things to let them know that I've moved. And apparently each time I do that, all of my friends get notifications that I've moved, as if you didn't already know. All day today, today was LinkedIn day. I updated my LinkedIn. I got, about 200 LinkedIn notifications letting me know that people liked the fact that I changed in my job and moved and all of that nonsense. So, we'll get to that here in just a moment. I know a lot of people are curious to know more details about my job, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So I guess I left off at 1880 town. We did that. And then we went to a place called Waldrugs, which was basically Gatlinburg, but, in South Dakota, just a lot of, what I call shit shops and crap racks and, fun for about an hour. And then we left and we continued on. So, we went all through Montana. Montana's a beautiful state and a lot of really picturesque areas in Montana. I highly recommend checking that out, going up and down the mountains and all through the paths. And, we got to a point where, we had arrived at Idaho, and the panhandle of Idaho kind of separates Montana from Washington State. And so as we crossed over into Idaho, suddenly I heard this very strange noise coming from what appeared to be the car. I'm driving and just very faintly I could hear ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And at first I thought, okay, it's just the road, you know, seams in the road, no big deal. And then we started going through Idaho and, all of a sudden I hear ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And it got louder. I'm like, oh boy. Okay. So we stopped, we pulled over into a gas station. It was about time to fill up the tank again for about the 30th time on this multi-day trip. And, I checked the car, you know, checked the oil, kicked the tires, checked the brakes, checked all the fluids, looked underneath, thought maybe I had run over, you know, something. No apparent reason for the noise. So we got back in the car and we're cruising. Now we're just a few miles outside of Spokane, which is right on the edge as you cross over between Idaho and Washington State. Spokane is the city that's there. The first major city you get to in Washington State. And, as we crossed into Washington State, I said, "Hey kids, we're in Washington." They all cheered. But all of a sudden, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And over the course of the next couple hours, as we cruised in to Seattle, the sound just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And then it occurred to me what the sound was. That sound, that was the pulse of VR. And it was emanating from Seattle. Kids, I'm convinced Seattle is the heart of VR. And as cheesy as all that might have been for you, I have to admit, since I've been here, I have truly experienced a wonderful thing. A city that embraces technology and embraces modern innovative ideas and implements them. And VR is just present. It is just here. I mean, I didn't have to go 10 feet before I met somebody and they're like, "Oh, hey, you know, what are you doing here?" It's like, "Oh, you know, I moved to Seattle for a job." And, "Oh, really? What are you going to be doing?" "VR." "Oh, really? Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's a big deal." If I had done that in Cincinnati, I would have had to spend the next half hour explaining what VR was. That doesn't happen here in Seattle. People know what it is. And so, again, as cheesy and as corny as that all was, you know, the pulse and everything, I do truly believe that Seattle is a hotspot, if not the hotspot, for VR development, for VR innovation, for ideas, for concepts. It's happening here. It's happening. And I couldn't be prouder to be here in this state and in this city being part of the VR scene. So, to get to the important thing, which everybody's dying to hear, who scooped up Reverend Kyle to be their VR guy? Well, I'll tell you, Some of you may, regular listeners may remember that I believe it was episode 90 where I had Stefan Pinar, who is with Virtual Reality Ventures in Australia. We had a great discussion about all of the different industries other than gaming, other than entertainment, all these other industries that have the capability to grow and enhance themselves using virtual reality. And one of those is architecture and real estate. And so I'm very pleased to announce that a architectural visualization firm here in Seattle called Studio 216 has scooped me up to be their VR guy. And I'm very, very proud to say that this company is right there on the edge, just dying to jump in full Monty into VR. And they actually already have. Even before I started with them, they had dabbled and experimented with some VR for some of their clients, and it has been fantastic. And so I'm coming on board to lead them further and to lead them into the VR world, the final medium, the ultimate medium. Let's put everything in VR. And what a natural transition for architectural visualization. Imagine what that is. That's building a building virtually, building a building before it gets built. Think about the implications of VR to this industry. Imagine being able to take an architect and say, you know that blueprint that you just made? Well, here, step into it. Step into it, walk around, manipulate the area, change colors, move walls, see what it is that you have created. And it's all well and good to make 3D models and do renders and all of that, which we also do. But let's take it to the next level. Let's give them the ability to put a device in front of their skull and move it around and be able to say, wow, if I look behind me, I can see the back of the building. Now, take it even a step further. From a marketing or a selling standpoint, let's say you're building a building that you're going to sell to 600 offices. You can't sell them something they can't see. Now you can. Now you can sell them something. You can say, look, here, put this HMD on or hold this tablet up to your head and check it out. You can see what this area is going to look like. And it's a fantastic way to take VR and to utilize it for an industry that has already been very successful and is very, very important to the needs of the clients to be able to sell space that doesn't exist and be able to build buildings that are just totally awesome. It's a natural progression. And I think that there are other industries out there that will see this natural progression. I'm really excited about it. So I've been with them. I started August 3rd. So this I'm in the middle, almost the end of my second week with them. And it has been fantastic. A lot of really great people to work with. Some wonderful clients. And I'll tell you, I'm just every day I get up and I smile on my way to work. And the reason I smile on the way to work is because I know that I'm going to work to sit in front of my computer and work in VR. I couldn't have said that 3 months ago. 3 months ago, what I would have said is, I would have gone to work, I would have woken up in the morning, I would have been miserable because I'm driving to work, and I'm going to sit and do something I'm not passionate about. And then I'm going to go home and either be exhausted or mad or just not able to focus. And then to try to do my own VR development and be able to do my podcast and be able to do all of the social interaction that I do, it was extremely just draining and exhausting. And so now what I do is I get up in the morning and I go get my fill of VR and then come home and I am energized. I am energized. I have VR on the head and I'm just excited. I'm excited the whole day. I can't remember a time in my life where I wasn't, where I felt like this. I can't remember a time in my life where I actually didn't dread going to work and I didn't feel exhausted when I got home. I'm energized. And it's something now, my my personality index, for those of you who are familiar with Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENTP. I'm an extrovert, and so obviously that it warrants itself to talking to people or talking to a giant monitor in front of me. But the other elements of my personality mean that I get energized by working with people. I get energized by doing something I'm passionate about. And so to work in a field like virtual reality where I'm extremely passionate about it, it's just, it's a great thing. It's good for the soul. It's good for the mind. It's good for the body even. And so I find myself, just chock full of ideas, Of course, that doesn't excuse me from not doing a podcast until right now. That's a whole nother story. Unfortunately, we left on a Friday, and we had used a company. I won't name them because I'm not exactly thrilled with them, but I used a company where you basically rent a trailer. They drop a trailer off at your home. You fill it, you call them, and you say, hey, come pick it up. And so the plan was that we dropped it off. They dropped it off on Wednesday. We filled it up. And we called them on Thursday evening and we said, hey, we're ready to go. We're leaving on Friday. We won't be here. Come pick up the trailer. And, 5-6 days later, it should show up. And that's what we anticipated, is by the time we got to our new house, that the trailer would be at least available for us to call and have them drop off, or it would meet us there or whatever. Well, they didn't pick it up on Friday like they should have. And so it sat Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And didn't actually get picked up until Monday afternoon. That was their fault. That was their bad. They admitted to it. No big deal. So they got it. And then they had to drive it across the country. Well, by the time Monday had rolled around, we were already halfway to our goal. And we showed up at our house about Wednesday. And at that point, the truck was in, I don't even remember where exactly it was, but it wasn't close. Let's put it that way. The truck didn't actually show up until 3 days ago, unfortunately. And so, Friday? I think it was Friday. That was really bad because my computer was in there. Most of our clothing, all of our furniture. So we'd been in a empty house for about a week. Luckily I was smart enough to have pulled out enough gear that I could live, survive. And as the wife and kids did too. So it wasn't a terrible thing. It was actually slightly humorous to try to make things work. You know, when you don't have simple, basic things like a pan, a spatula, cups, you learn to be a little inventive. So, and obviously we didn't want to go and just buy new, knowing that our good stuff was on its way. So we made do. Necessity is the mother of invention, and we utilized that, and we got along okay. However, the computers, all but one laptop, were in transit. And so I did not have the ability to produce a podcast, nor did I have the ability to turn VR casters back on. That's all another story in and of itself. Unfortunately, VR casters is running right now. However, it's not connected. So I have some hoops to jump through there, and hopefully VR casters will be up and running within the next couple days, if not a week. God, I hope it's not a week. we'll get that going. I promise. And we'll have all new episodes and everything pumped into it. I know there's been some other podcasters who have been pumping out episodes, and that's actually been keeping me company. There's obviously Left-Handed VR and ITRL. And what else? Uncle Johnny. I don't know if you guys are listening to that yet, but I would recommend checking it out if you can. That reminds me, I do have a message here for Matt, aka Holotape. I just want to share this message with you real quick. No, wait a minute. Didn't quite do what I wanted it to. That's unfortunate. All right, let's try this again. Okay, that's just for you, Matt. I know you love that sound so much. only did that for you, buddy. All right, so what else do we want to talk about here? Let's talk a little bit more about my job. So I'm actually going to have my my boss, one of my bosses, come on and be a guest on the podcast. We talked about that. It's a great idea. And I do want to share this with the community, is that Studio 216 has embraced my personality. Not, you know, because I'm just charismatic and all that stuff. But no, I mean, they actually embrace what I do for the VR community, my involvement, my presence, pun intended. And they want me to continue to do that. And so they encourage me to continue my podcast and my involvement with the VR community. They encourage me to go to meetups. And as a matter of fact, you know, because of them, I will be attending Oculus Connect 2 in September. Along that lines, also the Proto Awards. And I'll also be going to the VRLA Summer Expo, which is happening in, I think it's August 29th. It's a Saturday, August 29th. So that's coming up here. I'll be attending that as well. And since the Proto Awards and the VRLA Summer Expo are both things done by the VRLA group, I want to announce that we'll be getting those guys on to the podcast here very soon, and they'll be able to talk about a couple of those things, and we'll get the down low, the scoop on what we're going to experience at the VRLA Summer Expo, and then also maybe dabble into the Proto Awards a bit and get some info on that. Hopefully we're setting that up right now. My people are talking to their people. They're doing lunch, that sort of thing. So it's very exciting. So yeah, I mean, they really like Studio 216. It really likes what I do for the community. And so they encourage me to continue doing all of that. I'm very excited to be able to tell the community that, because I know that there have been some concerns that, oh no, you know, evangelists or personalities will get scooped up by VR companies and then they'll disappear into the cosmos. I just want you to know I'm not going to do that. Obviously there was a lull here while I was getting acclimated to my new environment, but I am set up now. I'm talking into my microphone into a computer. that's another story in and of itself, but I'm recording and that's a good thing. No guest today, obviously, or I would have been very rude to have not introduced them yet, but, yeah, good stuff. So on top of all of that, you know, having Seattle be such a epicenter of VR goodliness, I have actually attended two VR events here in Seattle, in the small amount of time that I've been here. My wife and I journeyed out here a week before we moved to find a home and identify, you know, schools for the kids, that sort of thing. And while we were out here, we were invited to a VR mixer at a place called Presence Labs. They are a little stealth mode under the radar sort of thing right now, but I have been assured that when they're ready to come out of their cocoon and spread their wings, that they will be ready to talk to me on the podcast here. So I'm excited about that. And you know, it was kind of cool too, because when we got there, I immediately recognized a couple buddies of mine, the Converge team. So for those of you who don't know, Converge is a social platform similar to VR Chat or Janus or Altspace or RiftMax. And they were located, I believe, in Tennessee, Nashville, I think. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. It's not that relevant. But they were in Tennessee. And they also decided that the West was calling their names. And I believe they were originally going to move into the San Francisco Bay Area and then changed their minds and said, nope. We hear that pulse too, and we're moving to Seattle. And so it was kind of cool because they're set up very close to where I am. And so it was just neat to be able to see them, not at an event where we both traveled, you know, 2,000 miles to get there. We're right down the block. We're, you know, next door neighbors. I can go borrow a cup of sugar from Sean if I need to. So yeah, the Converge guys were there. A lot of other people at this meetup. I don't want to call it a meetup. It was more of a mixer, and it was great. It was fantastic. Chatting up all about VR. People were doing demos. There may or may not have been some prototypes of some equipment there. Won't get into details, but we were having a good time. And then after a couple days of actually being here permanently and working, I was invited to another VR mixer event, this time at the Surf Incubator. And I wasn't given a whole lot of information except please come. And this invite came from a guy named Rob Bluhl. Rob is awesome. Matter of fact, I believe that's his handle is Rob Awesome. Rob is a extreme fanatic and enthusiast of VR and was excited to see that I had moved here and invited me to this thing on behalf of Kronos VR, who was actually at the Surf Incubator. And yeah, it was really cool. I showed up, kind of showed up incognito. I didn't make an announcement like Reverend Kyle is here, dun dun dun, you know, fanfare and all that. I didn't. I just kind of snuck in, put a name badge on, name tag, and wrote Rev Kyle on it, and wandered off into the corner and just started chatting it up with people. And then Rob saw me. He's like, "Kyle, yeah, well, it was great." And I'll tell you what, folks. Again, another person similar to myself who all you have to do is say the letters V and R, and his face lights up. He's just a fantastic character. Had a lot of fun talking to him. He was actually showing off two demos. I think he was responsible for two of them. He was showing off the latest Technolust, which, you know, big deal. But sorry, Blair, I'm obviously kidding. But here's what was funny. He had another machine running, and I look over, and holy cow, he's running Crashland, like OG original Crashland on a DK1 with Hydras, with the Razer Hydra running. I was like, I felt nostalgic seeing it being played. And I thought to myself, how crazy is this? I feel nostalgic for watching somebody else play a VR game that I myself used to play for hours, not even a year and a half ago. I mean, it just seemed funny to me that it seems so far away. That the last time I played Crashland, and with the DK1, no less. It's just hilarious. It was just, it's funny that you can be nostalgic about something that just happened just a little bit ago. But the VR industry has been such a roller coaster of events and updates and disappointments and ups and downs and lefts and rights and, you know, strafing and all of that nonsense. And it's really been just, it seems like it's been a lot longer. I don't know. It's weird. I'm curious to hear your opinions. Let me know. Do you think it's felt like it's been 10 years or 5 or 2 or not even a month? I'm always curious to hear what other people's opinions are on things that I say. So, feel free. Drop me a line on Twitter, at Reverend KJR. Drop me an email, ReverendKJR@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook or something. Send me something. I want to know what your thoughts are. Has the VR space, has the VR industry felt like it's been dragging its feet for the last couple years, almost to the point where it feels like it's been a decade? Or does it feel like it just started last year? I'm curious. Let me know. So let's see what else I want to talk about. Oh, let's talk about development. So most of you, if you're regular listeners, know that I'm an Android guy. Very cool. Love Android. I was an Android developer before I was a VR developer. And I show up to work first day. It's like, cool. So what are we working on? They, drop me right into a project right away. Here's what we're doing. We're going to make this into VR. And we're going to do this. We're going to do this and this and this. And I looked. I'm like, hey, so I noticed that this says iPad. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. And there's a guy working there who actually helped propagate this connection to get me this job here. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Dell. Dell has been my partner in crime here at Studio 216 with development and getting my feet wet, both literally and figuratively here in Seattle. That's a rain joke if you don't know. And Dell is an IRS guy. I mean, he's back in the day, he's a veteran iOS developer. And I know he's going to yell at me because I said all this, but, he's guiding my hand as we go through this whole iOS, iPad development and iPhone development for that matter. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, wow, I'm being forced. My hand is being forced. I must learn how Unity talks to iOS. And so I concede. I will do it. I will do it because my work needs it. My work demands it. And who knows? I might even enjoy myself. But platform agnosticism is not something that I have preached in the past. But who knows? Maybe I'll find some middle ground. Don't worry, it's not stopping me from developing for Gear VR and Cardboard as well, along with some other devices. We've got one of those VR ones in the office, so you know we've got lots of things that we can play with. Speaking of lots of things to play with, I got an email from one of the bosses. He says, "Hey, you know, before you get here, we want to set you up with a rig." And so here are your options. We can set you up with a Mac something Pro, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Or we can build you. And he gives me these specs on this machine. And I went, oh, I want one of those. And so it's an i7. I don't remember which number it is. 64 gig of RAM. You know, SSD hard drives as big as you can get. And a Titan X. Oh, yeah. A Titan X, NVIDIA's big bad video daddy. It is a beast of a machine, and the whole thing's in this giant white tower, and you know, 8,000 watt power supply. Not really, I'm kidding, but you know, there's more ports on this thing than there are holes in a screen door. It's amazing how awesome this machine is, and I get to go and sit down in front of it. Oh, did I mention the dual? What are they, 29 inch? I don't even know what size, 32 inch? Dual 4K displays. The right tools and the right talent will take you far. Invest. Invest in the right hardware and give your developers the stuff they need. I'll give you a perfect example. We're developing for something, iOS, and dabbling with Metal inside Unity's engine, and you know, I'd really like to try this out on an iPad Air 2 or Plus or whichever one, the latest iteration with the new chips in it. And I swear in an hour I had one to test with. Like, it was that quick. They saw the need, boom, done. Awesome. That is the way VR development has to happen in these industries. You can't be afraid to get your feet wet, folks. And the companies that are willing to get their feet wet and dive in head first are the ones that are going to succeed. Well, that and the ones that scoop up the good developers. Or me. So, yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with my career and my job. The people I work with are wonderful. My bosses are great. I'm living in a wonderful city that has accepted VR with loving open arms. Could I be any happier? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like, you know, as I go to these events that are coming up, you know, VRLA Summer Expo, and then of course Connect, I feel like I'm going into these things with a new, fresh outlook, because I spend all day in VR, thinking about VR, developing for VR. You can't ask for anything better. You really can't. And to know that then I get to share all of this with the community and be able to be enthusiastic. I surfed Reddit today, the Oculus subreddit, at work. And it was work. Well, I mean, it was, right? It's work. You know, keeping up with the forums, keeping up with the community, chatting with the developers. Those are all things that are important for me to continue my presence in the community. And I'm there, kids. I'm there. Come talk to me. It's my job now. It's a beautiful thing. And I really hope. I know that there are some other people out there that are struggling, looking for that that same type of scenario that I've been blessed to fall into. And I really hope, I really truly hope that you fall into yours. Just remember, it's still the early days. It's still the early days. So there's still hope for those of you who feel like, damn it, I wish that could have happened to me. I do too. I really hope it happens to you too. I really hope that you get to have that same advantage, that same experience, that same opportunity that has been presented to me. And all I can say is be loud, be vocal, and let the world know what you're capable of doing. Use social media as it's intended to be used. You know, shoving yourself in front of other people's faces. Oh, I mean, and making good business connections. That's important too. So, yeah, I think I'm going to leave it at that. One thing I do want to say though is, I'm very, very sorry for my audience who's been waiting for me to be talking. And I know we didn't talk a whole lot about VR, but at least you all know where I stand and, in my status, and that I will be doing my podcasts on a regular basis, very, very, very soon. Well, starting right now, as a matter of fact. And then, and you know, you'll start seeing me post more in the subreddit, and you'll see me chatting it up with people and showing up to events. I also want to give a huge shout out to Seattle. If you're out there, let me know who you are. Let me know where you are. Let me know what you're doing. I'd love to talk. Love to chat. I've already met a couple people for some beers. Adam, thanks. You know who you are. You're the man. And I look forward to more conversations with more new friends. That's what it's all about. Networking, making friends, going to the meetups, feeling the vibe. Feeling the vibe would be great. As a matter of fact, Valve is here in Seattle. So if any of you Valve people are listening, stop by to Studio 216 and drop off a kit or two, please. We have many varied and exciting uses for your hardware. I'm not kidding. Seriously, Valve people, please bring your kits over because we could really use them. It's exciting times and people are asking, when are you going to have Vive? And, that's a good question. So, or if you are somebody who's not with Vive and Valve and thinks you can make it happen, get in touch. I'm excited. All right. Yeah, let's leave it at that. So email me, Twitter me, Facebook me, don't Tinder me, don't Pinterest me. I actually do get messages from people who are like looking for me on Pinterest. Please don't do that. VRcasters is coming. Please be patient. It will come soon. I promise. And okay. VR community, thank you very much for listening.
All data and information provided on the RevVR podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. This podcast makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, correctness, suitability, or validity of any information discussed. Comments and views expressed on the RevVR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests and are not necessarily shared by Road to VR or its affiliates.